Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hi, church. I'm Tina Carter. I'm one of the retired pastors in the congregation. I'm glad to be here today. Thanks for letting me join you. This morning's story about stone soup is so interesting because in some communities, that is the story of a swindler, right? They see the person that comes into town and gyps everybody out of food so that he can have a good meal as somebody that's taking advantage. The trouble is that when you hear about Jesus feeding the 5,000, it's a remarkable similarity to the stone soup guy. I mean, Jesus comes into town with nothing, borrows some fish and bread from somebody else, and then feeds everyone. So I don't know how we see stories so differently, right? But we do. And I think that that is an invitation for all of us to think about how somebody else might be seeing things. And so I'm going to invite you into that mindset as we enter the sermon today. But first, let's pray. God, bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they may be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Marcia, did I see you? I'm so sorry. I think you were meant to do the children's time, and I totally took that away from you. I'm so sorry. Oh, thank you. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know how many of you read the Buda Beat all the way through, but I do. The articles are usually really lovely and fun. And in June, Nita Allen had an article in the Buda Beat. And she talked about growing up as a little girl and having a big backyard with an apricot tree, an apple tree, and fig trees, blackberry bushes nearby. I love that Nita got to know where her food came from, right? I can see her fingers getting all inky with those blackberry stains that happen when you pick too many or maybe eat too many. She was in a situation where she could harvest her own food, right? Not many people get a chance to do that. Our CLC director, Melanie, and our campus manager, T, I don't know if you have noticed, but there were some volunteer pumpkin plants that just arrived in front of the CLC, and instead of treating them as a nuisance and saying we need to get rid of them, T was quietly showing the littles the flowers, right, that would become the pumpkins, helping them understand that what we get at the grocery store comes from the ground. I love that. When Nita tells us about her abundant childhood, she is remembering that God gives us more than enough, right? Nita's family was fed abundantly. And there was, well, I don't know this for certain, but I'm going to make the assumption that there was no means test for Nita's family before she was able to receive those goods from her garden, right? There wasn't an angel that was standing with a clipboard saying, how much money do you make each year? What do you spend in rent? There was also no means test when Jesus fed the 5,000. I imagine that some people in that crowd could have bought their own lunch. Jesus didn't really care. Jesus said, let's feed everybody that shows up. And that's God's vision for us. I grew up knowing what was edible outside. Right? Part of that was necessity. You don't have quite enough. It's really good to know where you can get more, right? So I knew where the asparagus grew on the ditch bank. I knew which apple trees in the neighborhood I could liberate fruit from without repercussions. I asked my elderly neighbors who planted their fence line in sweet peas because they loved the flowers. And when I was 8, I figured out they didn't harvest the peas. So when I was 9, I said, can I have all of that? And they're like, sure, we just like the flowers. Right? So I knew what was edible outside, and that was helpful for all of us, I think, growing up. At certain elevations in Colorado where I grew up, there are mountain strawberries. You have to know what they look like. They don't look like the ones you get at the grocery store. And you have to understand kind of where they hide on the trail and when they come up. But if you know all those things, that is a very sweet snack. If you are a mountain person and you spend a lot of time in the mountains, you need to know which rose hips you can brew into a liquid beverage that's lovely and which ones taste awful. I never messed with mushrooms because I was slightly afraid of getting the wrong ones, but my sister is an excellent morel forager. I mean, she does it every year. We may not have had enough food at the table, but there was enough food in the neighborhood, right? And that was God's provision. We were a family that benefited from government cheese. Raise your hand if you had government cheese. Yes, thank you. Some of it freezes and some of it doesn't. Commodity peanut butter. Cherries sometimes, right? So the program was, at the time, some of our farmers were having trouble keeping up their production, and there were dips in prices. So in order to save our farming community, the government bought that excess food and then distributed it to families in need. It was the essence of who we are as a country, right? Like, we are people who grow our food, local farmers doing local things, and we're going to support those folks. And we are people who share. That's basically how we built community across this whole country, was by sharing. And so that government cheese program, not only did it help our family, it helped the whole community. As an adult, as part of my seminary training, I took a class that was Adventures in Wilderness. So we took some theological readings, and then we took a trip to hike part of the Wamanutch Wilderness in Colorado, southern Colorado. So we did part of the Continental Divide Trail. I had done this part before, so I was pretty familiar with the trail. Most of the other people on the trip had never slept outside before, right? So there's a divide between, like, I know what's next, and I'm not telling them. The first day was a really hard up, so you gain a lot of vertical feet and not very many horizontal feet, right? So it's like walking up a staircase. Everybody's tired. You just got to keep moving. So that night, everybody's like gathering in their tents, and I'm just sitting by the fire, staring at the fire, kind of disconnected. And the professor comes over, and he goes, what are you thinking about right now? And I said, you know, I was just thinking about the fact, because I had been picking strawberries off the trail all day, thinking about the fact that not everybody knows what's edible outside. That's just so weird. And my professor got quiet for a minute, and he said, no, you're weird. And it helped me to reorient myself, because I think that's right. It's an untypical now for us to know what's edible outside or where to get things to eat outside. And it's interesting to me that we have converted food, which is a good gift from God, into a commodity, right? So we've transferred something that God intended for all of our good, and we've commodified it so that only certain people can eat well. And that doesn't seem to be consistent with what God had in mind. Growing up, I was on free lunch. In my growing up, what that meant was you had a different colored lunch ticket and you stood in a different line, right? I don't know that that's how they do it now. But I do know that there were a group of us, the poor kids, that just didn't eat. Because we're not that was too much pressure on us. We chose a different path. I'm not saying we were smart. I'm saying that was just what happened. I think it's so intriguing that we have these limiting factors for food, right? But when Jesus fed the 5,000, not only was there enough, there was more than enough. There was stuff left over. And people say all the time, and talk to a good economist about this, we have enough food on the planet to feed everybody well. We don't have the right distribution system currently. And we don't have enough food for everybody to be spoiled with food, right? You guys, have you ever heard of imperfect food? I didn't understand what perfect food was until I was way an adult, because most of the stuff we got, we grew, right? And then you go to the grocery store and all the apples look alike. I'm like, what is that? Oh, they're just leaving out all the ones that don't look alike. Right? Jesus' idea, God's idea, the idea of abundance where food is concerned comes straight from God. You guys know this already, I'm sure, but there are large sections of our population that get their food from the dollar store or the local corner market. They do that because they are geographically in what's called a food desert, so they don't have availability to a grocery store within walking or reasonable transport, or they don't have the means to get food from a grocery store. And if you want to envision how that is, try doing it for a week. Just get all of your groceries from Dollar General for 1 week. It's really hard to eat in a way that will feed you well when you are stuck in that pit. It's really hard. All right. I'm going to say things that might frustrate people. Before I do that, let me just say this. I am never going to, from a pulpit, tell you who to vote for, because that's not what church does. And if you ever see a pastor from a pulpit telling you to vote for a particular person, report them to the IRS. That is not what we do. I am, however, going to remind us of who we are, what we value, and who we are called to be. Okay? So with that disclaimer, let me mention that the USDA, as of March 2025, has radically cut funding to the school lunch program. Radically. Right? So we have kids who are hungry all the time. SNAP benefits have been cut. You know what SNAP benefits, right? They used to be called food stamps or called other things in some places. I have a great story about SNAP benefits. How many of you have heard of SNAP kitchens? Okay, it's super bougie. It is a high-end, ready-made food option. They have a store in Clarksville. They were born in Texas. Their food is really, really good. They got in contact with a local United Methodist church because they found that when they closed for the holidays, they were destroying a lot of food that was still good to eat, and that bothered them. So they partnered with a local United Methodist church to get those meals to people who didn't have ready access to good food. So they would bring all those, and then there was a big distribution day. Here's the irony about that whole thing. SNAP kitchens had no idea what SNAP benefits were. At least the people we were working with. And, of course, the people that we knew that were on SNAP benefits had no idea what SNAP kitchens were. And would ask questions like, I'm sorry, this is bison and something that starts with a Q? That's quinoa. It's pretty good. You'll like it. That kind of cross-pollination between two people groups that do not have direct experience with each other's reality, friends, that's what church is for. That's why we're here. We're here to learn from each other and hear each other and understand that our backgrounds are different and our experiences are different, and we are all deeply beloved children of God for whom God is wishing abundance. That tale of two food realities is so prevalent in our country right now. There are teenagers that open up their fridge that is double-sided and has all kinds of stuff to the gills and looks in and says, there's nothing to eat. And his neighbor down the road who opens the cabinets because there is no fridge in their house and looks at bareness and says, there is nothing to eat. Same statement, totally different meanings. It's good when those two people groups get to know each other. This sermon is not a diatribe about the things that are going wrong right now, although it might seem like that. It is meant to remind us all of what our call is as children of God. Children of a God that calls us to eat without Christ. Who models for us in the person of Jesus Christ abundant generosity with the feeding of the 5,000. And while I will never promote a specific candidate for political office from the pulpit, again, report that, I'm very much reminding us all, as children of an abundant God, what we are to be advocating for. Y'all already know this. You do it with your food pantry work, which is substantial. You are mindful enough to know that SNAP benefits don't cover cleaning products. They don't cover toilet paper. They don't cover feminine hygiene products. You guys know that, and you do something about it. You are already aware that food carries with it a grace that comes from God. Every month, you men gather and cook together and feed each other. Whoever shows up is fed. It doesn't matter. You could stay for worship. Don't stay for worship. We don't care. It's breakfast time. Every week, there is food in the hallway for whoever wanders in. You have potlucks. You have family nights. There's no asking people when they show up if they belong here, because you guys know that if they show up, they belong here. And there's always enough, because somehow in God's economy, abundance just shows up. You guys contribute to things like global ministries and World Central Kitchens. What would happen if we dreamed slightly bigger? What would happen if we decided to take part of our acreage and plant fruit-bearing trees or pecans for anybody that just showed up? Bill Carter already does a ton of composting of things that need to be culled from the food pantry. And then that gets used in soil in making more things. He harvests fresh basil from his garden plot to come over here for the food pantry. And he's not the only one. You guys are clever with this abundance God has dropped in your lap. You know that sharing is an integral part of who we're called to be as Jesus followers. One of my favorite seasons in Austin is pecan season. I don't know, I used to walk along Palmer Events Center area a lot, and there are a lot of persons who are unhoused in that area. And in pecan season, everybody's just harvesting pecans. Everybody's got plenty of protein in pecan season because God's providing it, and nobody is stopping anybody from harvesting. It's just there. Friends, as Americans, we are not lone rangers. My relatives in Kansas and Colorado, they never put up a barn by themselves. That was a community event. And Jesus' people are certainly not lone rangers. That is not who we are. We are people who share, who recognize abundance, who want to play in the waters that God has provided for us. And so, here's what we do as Jesus people. Despite all the funding cuts, and I do not know how they're doing this, the school at the back of our neighborhood has a sign that says, "We have free school lunch and breakfast for everyone." I don't know how they're doing it, but I'm going to figure that out this year and see if they need any help. Because we can encourage where we see abundance happening. We can encourage where we see generosity happening. We can participate in the abundance that God is already throwing our way. I love that Jesus did not have a means test before he fed the 5,000. You were there. You were fed. Showing up. Counted. That's who we are, really, at the core of who we are. We're the people that know that God loves each of us completely and all of us fiercely. That generosity is something that is our joy, not our obligation. And that abundance, once recognized at the hands of God, can't be anything but shared. This is who you are. This is who we are because of who God is. Thanks be to God. Amen.